Hallelujah to Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Wonderful. Please take your seats. If you have your Bible with you, would you like to turn to 2 Timothy? Do you ever read your Bible and it's almost like reading the news? Do you ever get that way? It's like you get into the Word and you say, right, Father, what is it? What's the agenda? And then you read and it's like, my goodness me. I mean, this thing is like sharp, on point. I want to share with you this morning about living under the rule of the book. Living under the rule of the book. 2 Timothy 3, and we'll start with the first verse. It says, but realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self. Instagram. lovers of money, dear God. Boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy. This is like news headlines for the last, 50, 60 years. Unreal. Unloving, irreconcilable. Whew. How many law courts are full of people who are irreconcilable? Malicious gossips without self-control. Hey, Burger King. Dear God. I love that place. I love it too much. I have to avoid it. Like even walking past it, I have to kind of avert my gaze. For some people, it's Ferraris. For others, it's like, you know, beautiful looking women. And for others, it's Burger King. May Jesus forgive my sins. Hallelujah. Without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Because there's certain types of pleasure that God says, son, if you're going to live by the rule of the book, then this kind of pleasure, you know, if sin wasn't pleasureful, no one would sin. Amen. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Verse 5, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power, he then says, and avoid such men as these. For among them are those who enter into households and captivate weak women, weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. How many of you know the truth is a person? And just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men oppose the truth. Men of depraved mind, rejected as regards the faith. But they will not make further progress, for their folly will be obvious to all, as also that of those two came to be. But you followed my teaching, my conduct, my purpose, my faith, my patience, my love, my perseverance. Persecutions and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra, those persecutions that I endured, and out of all of them, the Lord God delivered me. And indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ will be persecuted. So nudge your neighbor and tell him, get ready for persecution. See, I've noticed something. Persecution is part of the good fight. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Persecution is part and parcel of the gospel. Verse 12. But evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Well, Brother Paul, what's the antidote? Look at this, verse 14. It says, you, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, it's not just about learning. It's about knowing the one from whom you've learned. Verse 15, he says that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable. Praise Jesus. My banking background permits me to stop at the word profitable. Hallelujah. All scripture is inspired of God and profitable. Living under the rule of the book is profitable. Can you say amen? Amen. And actually, if you look at that verse, verse 16 there, that word inspired by God is literally the Greek word theopneustos. Sounds like a person's name, right? Theopneustos. Theo from theos, which is God. Pneustos from pneuma, which is breath. Literally, it says, all scripture is God-breathed. I love that. So when I turn to the book of Acts, it's not Luke writing to me. It's the Holy Spirit through Luke. Do you get me? When I read the book of John, it's not John speaking to me. It's the Holy Spirit through John. When I'm reading any of the letters of Paul, it's not Paul speaking to me. It's the Holy Spirit through Paul. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, the word of God is God speaking to me through people. It's really, really important to know that we can take these words as the word of God. Even its coming about is mysterious. But let me finish that scripture first. It says, all scripture is inspired of God, literally God-breathed and profitable, for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Hallelujah. So there's nothing that the word of God can't equip you for. There's nothing that God's word can't raise you up into. Turn to your neighbor again and tell him, if it's for me, then God's word can get me there. It's really, really important to know that, because this thing can become food to your spirit. That's exactly what God ordained his word to be, is food for your spirit. It can grow. It can increase on the inside of you. He says, you, however, continue in the things which you have learned and become convinced of. So there's a learning and then there's a convincing. I know, you see, I learned, right, that God was my healer. But now I'm convinced of it. Do you get the difference? That the learning has become the convincing. I didn't just learn this thing. I have become convinced of it. I am convinced that God is my healer. I am convinced that God is my prosperer. I am convinced that God is my savior. And I am convinced that God has raised me up and is releasing me to be a king and a priest in this life. Amen. Hallelujah to Jesus. It's really important that we know that. And the picture I saw as I was studying out this morning was literally of me walking like this. And it was signifying that I live under the rule of this book. Now, there's bits of me that aren't fully Christian. Amen. Nudge your neighbor and tell them, you look like a suspect. Yeah, you see, because I guarantee you, right? I guarantee you that there's bits of you that aren't fully Christian. You know those bits come out and it's like, oh gosh, I wish I could get that back. You know, there's bits, there's character bits, there's emotional bits. There are doubt bits. There are like natural human tendency bits. You know, stand in the kitchen when you're fasting and just like drool. Like, how on earth can granola be appetizing? Except when you're fasting. And then it's so good. Unless you've been there, you won't know. You won't know. But there's other things in our nature. There's the unredeemed, the yet to be redeemed bits, right? The bits of us that aren't yet fully Christian. But here's what happens, you see. If we're living under the rule of the book, then those bits that aren't fully Christian, we know that there's a work to do. And God, by his grace, he'll work on us. That's often why he puts people together. Is that he wants, there's certain things, I know it, there's certain things, if I had lived a single life, then I know that there would have been bits of my life and character that God would never have had access to. Because there's bits that are so close. Anyone else feel that way? You see, we shouldn't be bashing our wives or bashing our husbands, because they're the tool of God's, they're like, in surgery, you have certain things. If it's like orthopedic surgery, you know, they can have a hacksaw if they need to cut off someone's leg, and they'll saw right through with the thing, right? But then there's other surgery. There's micro surgery, where they can make an incision that's like less than a centimeter, and they can put this thing in there with a little, I don't know what to call it, like a nips. You know what a nips is? You have to be from the west of Ireland to know what a nips is. A little nips on the end, and that little thing will just gather around and just chink, take the thing, pull it out by this micro hole surgery, right? Well, you see, that's the kind of bit that would have done you intense harm had it been allowed to remain on the inside of you, but somebody who is that close to you and that intimate with you can get into that little bit and take that bit out. That's the bit that got, you know, anyone can do the hacksaw job, right? But it's the little bits, and that's why God puts us together. Thank God for your spouses. Hallelujah to Jesus. I feel like doing marriage ministry right now. Glory to God. But you see, that the unredeemed bits. Now, how do you know which bits are redeemed and which bits aren't? Okay. The bits that are redeemed are the bits that are hallmarked by love. Amen. You see, if love is in the thing, then it's redeemed, right? Now, what does the Bible say? Love is patient. Hey, Jesus. Fallen at the first. I think sometimes the worship team get the worst of my character, because if things aren't going, I have to get into a certain level in the realm of the spirit to be able to, and they're the things that lift me. The worship lifts me. So if it's all going wrong, or if there's strife on the thing, then, you know, so I'll glare. Sometimes I'll be like, dude, I'm going to see you afterwards. I'm going to... Do you remember the time I threw the drumstick? Oh, dear God, Jesus. Thank God it didn't hit anyone. But, you know, my... Because why? I need to get into a certain level to be able to get there, to be able to release what God has given me for his people. It's like the way I've described it to them. It's like, you know, showing up for your EasyJet flight at Luton. And, you know, you've got the cabin crew, you've got the co-pilot, you've got the stewards and stewardesses, you've got the you know, everyone involved. You've got air traffic control, you've got the weather forecast, you've got all that kind of thing to take into account to get people where you need to be so that you can minister what God has given you to minister, right? If you're going to Leipzig, but you're going down the runway at 20 miles an hour, how many of you know you ain't going to Leipzig? You're going to A&E. And that's very much what happens. So, like, you know, I carry this in my spirit. I've got to get them there. I've got to get them there. They need to take this as serious as I do. And then if they don't, I've got this dichotomy then. Well, what do I do? Do I abandon the flight, or do I, you know, do I just... So literally, I try and get them there. I try and, like, whew, and then I go over into the natural. I lose my anointing. I get angry with them. I start glaring at them and just all sorts of things. So my apologies, worship team. Hallelujah for my lack of character. But you see, that's a bit in my life. That's a bit in my character that is yet to be fully redeemed, right? And because it's public life, because it's public ministry, like, you know, people kind of see it sometimes. I mean, everyone saw the drumstick flying at at the all night when that happened. That was bad character. May God redeem that area of my character in Jesus' name. Say amen, someone. But you see, here's how you can tell. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love isn't jealous or boastful or proud. It doesn't act unbecomingly, it doesn't hold back, and it never fails. And you can add another one on top of that. Love is always giving. Love is always giving. I love, David Oyedepo said something yesterday, just a glimpse thing on Facebook, and he said, if there's no giving in the thing, it's not love. I thought, wow, amen, that's so wise. If there's no giving in the thing, there's no love. If somebody says that they love you, but somehow they're not giving into you, then there's a problem. Yes. Amen. Amen. So great, great. Because all these things are love's hallmarks. These are the hallmarks of love. You can tell whether part of your life and character has been redeemed by those characteristics. You know what a hallmark is? If you're wondering whether your jewelry is real or burnt oak, then some of that stuff, man, like you wear it for 2 weeks, you come out with this funky rash, and you, anyway, then you see your jewelry has a hallmark. Right? And that's a stamp by a particular office that this thing is. Right? And it's exactly the same in our lives, exactly the same concerning our character. There's certain things that God has hallmarked. I know that this is love because it's got these characteristics. Hallelujah to Jesus. Love isn't love if it's not based on giving. Praise God. Nudge your neighbor and tell them, live under the rule of the book. You know, it's so amazing because you can, if you're raised up, for instance, if you've been through medical school and everything like that, then it is compulsory. They can fail you if you don't believe in Darwinism. Darwinism is the evolution of the species, that somehow, you know, there was nothing that became something that's now everything. There was an iPhone 3 that became an iPhone 6 by itself. That's the only way I can, you know, DNA is just bits of data, is bits of biological data. And they can fail you now on medical school if you don't say the Darwin's prayer. We believe in one Darwin. It may as well be. I mean, it's like, you know, from what I can see, I'm not an academically trained mind, thank the living God, but it seems to me like balderdash, like really balderdash. Because, you know, how can 400 bits of biological data suddenly become 600 million bits of biological data all in order without anyone actually overseeing the thing? It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And actually, if you look at what was going on in the late 1800s, it was used by people to confirm racism. And in fact, the book itself, the original books, if you look at the book that Darwin wrote this nonsense in, was called The Origin of the Species, right? That's how we know it now. But that wasn't how it was known then. It was known as The Origin of the Species as a means of natural selection. The natural selection being is that the white man is at the top of the pyramid. And then you've got the yellowish man, because the yellowish man was created by a mixture of the white man and the brown man. And then underneath that is the brown man. And then underneath that is the black man. And then underneath that is primates. And under that is horses and God knows what. And then all the way down to like plankton and you know, amoebas and stuff like that. And it was used like that in the late 1800s to effectively keep a whole race of people under subjugation. To the extent in Brooklyn Zoo, you can Google this yourself, the guy was called Otto Benga. I don't know if anyone ever heard of Otto Benga? A guy kept in a zoo from Congo, captured and kept in a zoo in New York. I mean, that's demonic. Absolutely and utterly demonic. And that was all inspired by this religion called Darwinism. That's why I say, and I'll say it again on public, Darwin's a liar. A dead one. Hallelujah to Jesus. That's the way it is. That's just the way it is. Hallelujah. If they come to cut me off, just wave as I leave in cuffs. Praise God. But you see, you can either, this is the thing, you can either believe and live by what the Word of God says, or you can somehow create this I call it secular relativism. This kind of mush that you know, bits of the Bible I like, you know, but male and female, he made them, I'm not sure about. You know, the book of Genesis, very in the beginning, God created man. He created them in the beginning, male and female, he made them. There wasn't male and female, or there wasn't she and him and shim. Do you understand? Oh, you guys are quiet, man. Never realized this has become the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. But that's the thing. It's not her, him, and shim. It's him and her. That's just the way it is. That's just the way it is. And he puts, here's one of the beautiful things about God. He puts characteristics in the she and characteristics in the him, the her and the him. And the way that they dovetail together, the way that bits of us get worked on, you know, those bits, until you submit yourself to the rule of the book, those bits, like, they stick out until they're sanded off by the Word of God. You know, the Bible says, like, iron sharpens iron. So a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. So there's all sorts of things that God can only do, can only reach into those bits. And I'm so glad for it. Can you thank God with me for what he does? Can you tell I'm missing my missus? Praise God. And then there are other things. You see, we can skirt issues, or we can live by the book. Right? The book says, for instance, no sex before marriage. Right? That's the book. If I'm living under the rule of the book, then I've got to keep myself pure before God until I'm married. Then I can have all the fun I like. Praise God. And if it wasn't fun, people wouldn't be trying it before marriage. Amen. Nudge your neighbor and tell them, live by the rule of the book. Yeah, it's straightforward. It's as plain as the nose on our face. Here's another few things I want to just rifle out there. Divination. In certain cultures, you see, divination takes on its own, like, cultural characteristics. I'll never forget. I was involved in a particular football team for a church ministry that they were raising up. And there was a guy there who was, like, really antagonistic towards me, really, like, unnecessarily antagonistic. I thought, guy, you know, what's he doing, you know? And God showed me one night, I was in prayer, God showed me, he was like, he was involved in divination. He was sitting there in his room. God showed me him sitting in his room, cross-legged with, bones and, like, taking these bones and then muttering words on these bones and then pouring these bones out. What's it called? Ibi, you said, what was it? What was it called?
She said Ifa.
Ifa. Is that a traditional practice? Okay, that's probably what, I never knew what the name was called. I just saw the guy sitting there cross-legged doing it. I thought, what is this? So I cancelled that thing in Jesus' mighty name. Then there was another time I was preaching in Ghana. And we went into the presidential palace. And, you know, I thought that because everyone surrounding the president would be genuine and honest and full of integrity and godly and righteous and Christian. Hey, mommy. So, you know, there was an array of people. Oh, please, do you have a business card? Can I have your business card? Blah, blah. So I'm handing out my business cards like that, not knowing that there was one or two going to be using it as a point of contact. sitting around a fire and calling on the power of fire to contact me and bring devastation and death to me. What's that one called? Do you know that one? It'd be you're becoming more suspicious as I continue. And you know, there's all kinds. You see, there's cultural divination. Divination will find its way into every kind of culture, every sort of culture. There's no culture that's immune to it. Freemasonry, dear Jesus, that's just like Middle Ages witchcraft. That's all it is. It's a European form of witchcraft. That's that. God, I really am going to jail, aren't I? I don't care. All sorts of tea leaves. Do you remember, like, I don't know, down in the East End, Anto, was it the same as in Tottenham? Like, tea leaf readers. Have you ever heard of people who read tea leaves? Yeah. It used to be a Cockney practice of divination. Oh, my gran's a fortune teller, they'd say. She can read your tea leaves. And you go there and you sit with this wizened old bag of a woman, and she's like, have a cup of tea then. What's your name? And all she's doing is picking things in the spirit as you're sitting there drinking with her. You know, the Bible says don't even sit to eat with such people. And there I am, all innocent and blah, 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 drinking this tea. Oh, I see your grandmother. Hey, mommy. Spouting nonsense. But the odd demonic thing. Yeah. One of the most powerful witches in Europe used to live outside of Galway. Do you remember her, Nick? And there was this woman just living outside of Galway in the west of Ireland. And a couple of people heard, oh, wow, there's this great witch. You know, let's go see this witch, blah, blah, blah. And you know what she did? She said, I see. She says, there's disaster coming into your life. So the couple are driving away from the witch. They're in a car crash. Two out of the three died. Yeah. Now, you think about it. If they hadn't gone there, she wouldn't have seen the thing. She probably planted that thing in their lives for their gullibility and their stupidity. Yeah, they get it from the Bible. You remember that story? The old prophet sitting there pushing disaster into the young guy. You remember that scripture? Yeah. First Kings 12, 13, somewhere like that. They get this stuff and they manipulate it. Nudge your neighbor and tell them, live by the rule of the book. You see, the book says, avoid such things. Steer away from such things. Here's another one, muta. You know what muta is? Muta. Anyone ever heard of muta? You don't know what muta is? Wow. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, you need to listen to Christian Prince. You don't know what muta is. Muta, you must know it from Iran. You must know what muta is. Muta. Yeah. No, you don't. Thank God for your innocence. Muta is a temporary marriage where you can marry somebody for 3 hours, do bunga bunga, and then you just walk away. You never heard of muta? Yeah. You know, Mummy, you know what muta is. Yeah, she's waving her hand now. She knows what muta is. Yeah. Yeah. But this kind of thing, you see, if you're coming, listen to me. If you're coming from that culture, oh my gosh, you're still saying, all right, I'm going to give you 1 minute to get over what I just said. My goodness. If you're coming from that culture, it's a real thing. But the book challenges such behavior, right? Here's another few. Libation, everyone knows. Yeah, you know what libation is? You don't know? Oh, Karen doesn't know. Okay, Karen. Anyone else not know what libation is? Okay, libation is where you're effectively pouring out some sort of drink offering to the dead. So, this is a true story. I was sitting with a guy from Kumasi. His father was a very famous musician by the name of Mensah. You know him, Itti Mensah, yeah. And So we're sitting down in this cafe. I was meeting this guy in Potter's Bar because I'd recently won him to Jesus. I was meeting him to, you know, involve in consolidation and everything like that. And we're sitting in this cafe outside, and it's one of them aluminium tables where the thing is a bit joggy, you know? And so I got him the cup of tea and the sugar, etc., and I'm sitting there drinking my tea. And then the table jogged, and some of the tea fell out onto the floor. And he looked at me, he says, oh, he said, don't worry. He says, that's for my dead brother. I said, hey, mommy, this is another new level. Yeah, imagine. So I said, wow. I said, you know what, as a Christian, we don't do that thing. We don't pour out offerings and sacrifices to the dead. But then again, we might bring flowers to a grave. Okay. I may as well knock every one of these things down. I'll line them up, dude. I'll knock them down. Praise God. Yeah. It's the truth. It's the truth. Some people bring clothes. In the Philippines, if this was a Filipino church I would be ministering in, then I would be challenged in them that bring clothes to the grave for the people to swallow at night. Yeah. Yeah. If this was majority ex-Hindu, I would be talking about bringing offerings to the idols. You see those idols that drink milk? Have you seen that one? Yeah. They'll bring them milk offerings. And it's not any old milk now. This milk will cost you £1,000 to get it from the priest. Mommy, there is nothing new under the sun. Nothing. The devil takes this junk, remolds it, rehashes it, and rebirths it every generation, right? But it's where we are. Are we living under the rule of the book? Right? This is the challenge of our generation. Like for us in the West, most of our thinking is the area of challenge. If we're going to live under the rule of the book, then we're going to believe what the book says. Not just the good bits, not just the easy bits, but the challenging bits as well. I remember, you know, being, sorry, my wife's not here, but like, I hope she's not watching, but being young and horny. I mean, hormones just, you understand? It's a challenge. Challenge, living by the book. I remember sitting in my room at night and all my friends out, party hearty till the break of dawn. 200 quid champagne, bam, just, you know, all that kind of stuff. God knows where they got the money. We were all broke as a joke. But when it came to going out there and you know, doing the slurge thing, suddenly we had cash. Yeah. But what was I going to do? I had that choice to make. I had that choice to make. And I remember sitting in my room just staring at the wall. I couldn't watch TV because all it was just sex films and stuff. There was this period where on all four channels. Do you remember those days? All four channels were just showing stuff you just couldn't, you know, it was going to contaminate, so I couldn't watch TV. So I'm sitting there looking, staring at the wall, bored out of my wits, and saying, Jesus, I'm telling you something. Wow, I am so glad. I am so glad I made that commitment of sanctification. I am so glad. I mean, what little sanctification was in my life, I was glad I had it. I wanted more. And I knew if I live by the rule of the book, I'll get there. You see, the Bible says godliness is profitable. The Bible says that all scripture is inspired by God and is profitable. There's profit in this thing. And how many of you know that you've got to make the investment before you see the profit? And that's the difficult bit, where we have to abandon some of these things. Stinginess. Hey, that's a challenge. That's a challenge. Here's another one. I don't know if you ever do like zodiac stuff. You know, in the newspapers, there's all like, oh, I've got to read me stars. That's another Cockney thing. I've got to read me stars. See what it says in me stars. Oh, look, you're going to meet a rich and famous guy. Imagine this nonsense. 12 signs of the zodiac. Think about it, right? 12 signs of the zodiac, right? Let's say, for instance, you've got 1 million readers. 12 signs of the zodiac. So 1/12 of the entire 1 million readers is going to be reading that thing. You're going to meet someone rich and famous. There ain't enough rich and famous people out there for 100,000 people to meet. Do you understand? But it's like, oh, Miss Stars, it says I'm going to meet someone. And they've always got some cockeyed diviner picture in the thing, like, doing it. You know what I mean? I mean, they always look subhuman, you know? I don't know, Professor... What would you call him? I don't want to get into trouble culturally, but I don't know, some weird professor, some. And he's like cross-eyed like this. This is your stars. Like, come on, man. Give me a break. Just give me a break. Nudge your neighbor and tell him, live by the rule of the book. Hallelujah to Jesus forever. Let's stand up and thank God for his word. Praise God. Guys, it's a decision, and it's one of the best decisions you can ever make. Not just to make Jesus your savior, but make him your Lord. Even the origins of this book that we call the Bible are mysterious. You look at the history of the Bible, what it went through, the Council of Nicaea. You look at the, what is it called, the Moratonin's Remnant or something. The arguments that went through which books should be Bible and which books shouldn't. All those kind of things. It's all mysterious. But you can live by it. You can base your life on it. You can allow its rule to take you into a dimension that you've never been before. And to me, that's the confirmation that we are in something wonderful. What did the Holy Spirit through Paul say? He said, now, beloved, I commend you to God and to the word of his favor, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among those that are saved. But you see, living by the rule of the book there's going to be some of the rules that you've learned in life that you're going to have to unlearn. Because there's two ways to do it. There's God's way and then there's the hard way. The thing about the hard way is that it seems easy at the outset. But in the long term, it leads to destruction. The Bible says there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is death. So we've got to know that somebody who's been there before, our forerunner, Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, knows what he's doing. And he knows that he's given us this book. We can live under the rule of the book, and it can take us into that dimension of heaven. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice. The Lord God, your blessing will be with them. The Lord God, your favor will be with them. That your anointing will be with them, Lord God. That your power to hold them under the rule of the book will be with them, Lord God. Because that same book that's able to build them up and give them that inheritance among those who are saved, that same book, Father, will take them into greater dimensions of life. We give you praise. We give you honor. We give you glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. And all God's people say, amen.